On Mother's Day, we talked to you about a mother named Mary, and today I want to talk to you about a father named Joseph and how he models for you and for me how we can actually live a life of significance. I believe in the heart of every person is a desire to make a mark that cannot be erased in this world, to leave a legacy, to do something of substance with their life. Can I have an amen? Amen. And like Mary, Joseph was of the house and lineage of David and a direct descendant of Abraham. He was a carpenter by trade. We see this in Mark chapter 6 when he referred to Jesus. And he no doubt taught Jesus those same skills. Everybody say a good amen.
Amen.
Now everybody has memories, you know, of their father, their dad growing up. And I'm the same way. And I got to see a lot of key things modeled by his life and taught to me over the years. And I remember he was in the defense business. He started out as a manufacturing manager and then director of ordnance products, making military-grade weapon systems, guidance systems, as well as ammunition up in Marion, Illinois. And most of you don't know this, but up and down that road are explosives every single day of the week and trucks containing things like nitroglycerin, which you don't pay attention to, but they're there. And one day there was a truck that was actually delivered and you're supposed to keep those things shipped a certain way and with a certain temperature range. And somehow the system failed and it arrived and they knew it failed. They didn't know if it was going to be stable anymore. If they opened up the truck lid, it was going to explode and take out half the plant. He could have passed that off to the foreman in charge of safety. He could have passed that off to somebody else in operations. But he himself went out there to titrate that liquid and found out that it was stable, just the kind of person that he is. Amen. Courageous and bold and willing to take the brunt of it. Of course, later on, I think he was rebuked by the vice president of operations for doing that. But that's what he did. I remember going to a swim meet in Cape Girardeau, Illinois. And I won't tell you how fast I was, but I was a fast swimmer. And I competed against a kid from the St. Louis area. And I jumped into the water course. It was a two-lap race of breaststroke, 50-meter pool. And I got to the end of the first lap, and I saw like 15, 20 people at the end of my line. They were yelling and screaming. At first, I thought, that's my team cheering me on. I found out it was not. It was others, this other kid's team trying to psych me out. Well, you know what that did? That makes me mad. So I turned the corner and raced and ended up putting about another body length and a half between me and him. And they were upset, but his coach was really upset getting beat like a drum like that. And I remember getting out of the water and walking over to the other side of the pool and hearing this commotion going on in the men's bathroom. Now, in these outdoor bathrooms, you'd have like a concrete wall like this, L-shape, and then you'd go into the bathroom. And in the corner of that concrete, you know, exterior part of that bathroom, there was this kid who just lost, and his coach berating him, rebuking him, cussing at him because he lost. And I will never forget this as long as I live. All the parents saw it, all the swimmers saw it, but the person who walked up and pulled that guy off that swimmer was my dad. You never forget a lesson like that. He also taught me great things like how to fish. Didn't really take, but he tried. Everybody say he tried. We used to go to Crab Orchard Lake in early in the morning, and we would troll for white bass. What you do is you take a little lure, and you just stick it in the water, and you go real slow with a boat from one point to the next. And when a white bass would hit that thing, it hit like a ton. You feel like it's a, you know, 50-pound fish, you know, but it wouldn't be. Once you found them, you'd fish. And he taught me how to do that, and you kind of troll along, and all of a sudden it would hit that thing. It would wake you up at 6 o'clock in the morning. That went okay. And I knew how to catch bluegill. We knew how to tight line for catfish at night. That was a lot of fun too. But the problem I had was fishing for bass. That was his expertise. So we're in a boat one time off this point, and every time I cast the line, the lure ended up on the bank, amen, in the weeds, on a log. I can tell you how many lures I lost that day. And, you know, after a couple hours of this, finally I tossed it in. I thought I had a really good placement there. There's a lily pad there. There's got to be a fish there, you know. And I could not find the lure. I looked in the tree, it wasn't there. I looked on the bank, it wasn't there. I looked, is it on a log? I looked over at my dad, and it's hanging off the side of his hat. He just looked at me and said, "You big dummy." So, tip, if you want to catch fish, you've got to get the lure in the water, all right? Well, when you look at Joseph's life, you don't think a lot about that, but probably one of the most underrated, uncelebrated individuals in Scripture was actually a phenomenal man of God and a tremendous father. Amen. In a situation that most of us would not be able to handle. His name literally means God will add. And what did God add through Joseph? Things like protection for his son, provision for his son, and perspective for his son. And some faith traditions paint him as an older man, almost decrepit, on his second or third marriage. And they do this because they want to protect the false teaching that Mary remained a virgin after Jesus was born. But that's not what Scripture actually teaches. In reality, he was, you know, older than Mary for sure, but he was not this person that could not handle the responsibility that God would give him supernaturally through angelic message. The fact of the matter is Mary was pure, as snow, amen, and normal after Jesus, amen, was birth. It's important to understand that. Joseph's integrity, his godliness, his faithfulness were historically undervalued and underappreciated, just like godly men today. Godly men in this nation should be celebrated, but too often they're vilified. Backward. You know, they're somehow against this and they're phobic for that and they're afraid of that. No, they're just godly. Joseph died long before the public ministry of Jesus began, but he lived a life of significance that impacts us all to the present day by preserving Jesus and leaving us an example to follow. Look at somebody and say, godly men matter. What does the word significant mean? It means of great or important or worth of attention and noteworthy. That's what he left for us. And God wants to do that in every person's life in this room. Look at somebody and smile and tell them God wants you to have a life of significance. And all you have to do is just stay in your lane, walk with God, and let him use you, and you will find that your life was in fact significant to somebody. Are you here today? So how do I do that, Pastor? How do I live a life of significance? Well, write this down. First of all, be discerning of the times and of the truth, because you and I can't afford to miss the signals in this life right now. Scripture says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. The mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Hey, Joseph, I got just a little bitty job for you. Say it with me. He will save us from our sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, what he has to do at this point in time is discern the time, the seasons, and the truthfulness of what he was just told. Take all the natural knowledge and all the spiritual knowledge that you have, and you've got to sense the truth. There are legions of men today who have no discernment when it comes to their marriages and to their families. Discernment has never been needed more than it is today in the men of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. Often what is spiritually expedient is not socially acceptable or easy to do. It's like Joseph saying back to the angel, well, that's easy for you to say. And you sit here today thinking, well, I bet you it's the same as it's always been. Yes, people are the same. They were the same back then. They're the same today. And you know exactly what would happen if Mary or Joseph showed up and said to their family, my wife or my future wife here is conceived by the Holy Ghost. They're going to say, sure. And what night are you going to be on the Jerry Springer show? There's absolutely nobody that would have believed that. He had to have discernment, and that discernment, of course, came from his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that would come, the one that he knew, the one that manifested throughout the Old Testament. He had the Spirit of God. He had discernment upon his life. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
It's like the men of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Say it with me. I'm like that. Say, I'm like a man of Issachar. I have understanding. I understand the times and I know what to do. And if you haven't noticed, we're in some pretty outstanding times right now. I mean, what you're seeing is scripture being literally fulfilled in front of your eyes. You're seeing finally Iran paying for what it has been doing for decades against the people of God. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Amen. So when you think about these things, don't put your mouth against Israel. No. Everything that Hamas and Hezbollah has been doing for decades was done at the behest of Iran through their money, through their financing, and at their direct orders. Amen. Seed time and harvest. Mess with God's people long enough and you're going to take it in the head. That's just the way it is. And no nation, including this nation, has a right to tell them that it can't defend themselves. Finally, that's happened. For decades, this administration after administration said, restraint, restraint, restraint. Listen, you have six million people wiped out in gas chambers and tell them, restrain, restrain, restrain. This isn't a time for the people of God to be restrained. And it's not a time for you to be restrained as the people of God. It's a time for you to stand up and speak up like never before. Right over here in the second row, a young man named Jonathan is playing this weekend in the World Series, baseball World Series for the college. Amen. And what strikes me about Jonathan Hogarth is not his ability. He leads, Division I play in terms of home runs, the number of home runs, and he leads the racers in the honor, but he's all out for Jesus Christ. They interview him in Omaha the other day, and all he wanted to do was talk about Jesus. And he said, I will serve him and testify of him until my dying day. And far as I'm concerned, he's already won, amen, the championship. So next time you see him sitting over there in that second row, that second seat, you'll walk up to him and say, thank you for standing up and speaking up for God. Thank you for taking your platform and honoring God with it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray the St. Louis Cardinals draft him. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. Amen. He will not be a Cub. And I'm sorry, Vicky, he will not be a Brave either. It's not going to happen, glory to God, like I have any say. Amen. I've been emailing the general manager of the Cardinals for weeks now. He still doesn't return my email, so. See, when we need discernment, we need to understand the times we're in. In Hebrews 5:14, the Bible says, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil or discern good from evil. You're not going to be able to discern this unless you are constantly in the Word of God, constantly putting the Word before your eyes and then going into your ears, amen, and then coming right back out of your mouth. That's how you gain this. And when you train yourselves in this teaching about righteousness over time, that input of the Word of God gives you the ability to instantly know whether something is correct or not, whether it's right or wrong. It's so important that you do this. You can develop and you can maintain discernment in your life. It is the key to living a life of significance. Can I have an amen? Amen. Number two, be courageous under pressure. Serving God when it's hard takes guts. And that's exactly what you see in Joseph's case. In Matthew 1 verse 24, it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Now, stepping up and taking a stand despite social and spiritual pressure, it takes some guts. As you know, people haven't changed, and you can imagine the social stigma and ridicule that they opened themselves up to, but it didn't make any difference because the only pressure greater than the social pressure was the spiritual pressure. The enemy did not want God, amen, to invade the earth with his good news and with his son. And I'm telling you today that you and I have to be courageous when the pressure comes. I'm telling you, as these days go by, you're going to have more and more people just assume that you shut up. I love what Tyler said. You know, as long as you're mediocre, as long as you choose not to press into the promises of God, As long as you're not filled with the power of God and the glory of God, as long as you don't prosper, they leave you alone. You dare try to stand out for God, and here comes the criticism. Well, I want to encourage you, go for everything God has for you. Press into every promise, every good thing. Don't let anybody sway you, especially people that get negative when you get faith-filled. That should tell you something. Amen. Come on, say it. It takes courage. It takes guts to serve God under pressure. It's important for you to understand this. He didn't have to take on this assignment. He volunteered, amen, willingly once he had the perception of God's will. The only pressure greater than social pressure is spiritual pressure. And we're seeing more and more of this right now full out and roll out into this world. Joseph protected rather than exposing Mary. You can tell a lot about a person as whether they're a protector or an exposer. Saying, I'm a protector, not an exposer. You know, it had to be a very, very difficult time. Amen. A very, very difficult 9 months, long before the rest of it came, just to walk this out in faith. I will tell you this, whatever God conceives in you, whatever God is trying to birth through you, it's going to take some guts to see that through. You are not going to just walk down the road and have this thing play out with no opposition, with no pressure. But how many know living a life of significance, amen, it takes you having some guts to do what you need to do. Say it with me, I have spiritual guts. I have courage, even when it's hard. But you know, you talk about these first two principles and they're important, but if he doesn't do number three, then nothing really matters. Number three, be obedient to the direction of God. You say, why? Because your children's destiny depends on it. This was a cataclysmic event that happened here. And for him to pick up on the signals the Holy Spirit was sending was extremely critical. And it included him understanding first his own walk with God. Listen to this from Luke chapter 2. So committed to the word of God they were. In verse 39, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law, say that they did everything required by the law. They brought Jesus in for all the purification rites that were required. They did what they were told to do. They returned to Galilee to their own home of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Aren't you glad for that? Listen to this from Matthew chapter 2 in verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And then listen to this. He goes on to say this in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 2. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. How many thank God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost? How many thank God for angelic beings? Amen. You say, well, he had a dream. You're right. He could have just got up and said it was something that I ate. I'm actually hearing things and seeing things. I'm going nuts. But he discerned this was from God. Like Pharaoh, Herod was threatened and murdered all the male children in the vicinity of Bethlehem up to 2 years old. He was threatened by the potential impact and influence of this child. That's why even today we call this the spirit of Herod. To get rid of any threat to Egypt, all the babies were destroyed, amen, in Egypt. That same spirit appeared through Herod's leadership, and that same spirit is in the land today. You've got to understand that the devil will kill 10 million children just to stop one from serving God. And we have seen that in our nation. So when you see that God is rolling back onset of slaughtering the unborn through abortion, when you see provisions of the courts stopping this and resisting this, you are seeing the blessing of God. We should thank God for these rulings and thank God for everyone that is spared. It's not a bad thing. It's not about your body, your choice. It's about God giving life, and you have no right to take that life. That's what it's about. But what's behind it? It's a spirit. It was a spirit behind what Pharaoh did. It's a spirit behind what Herod did. And it's a spirit today to stop those that will be born and be used greatly of God. Just like Pharaoh. Just like Herod. You see, how do they do this? The first way they do this is, of course, through abortion. Kill the child, stop the potential. We may never know. Mother Teresa said this. She believed that the cure to cancer and so many other diseases and so many other social ills was removed from this planet through abortion. She never wavered on her stand. She didn't care what the popular opinion said. Life is life. Can I have an amen today? It is the tool of the enemy. It is a manifestation of the spirit of Herod. It's not a rights issue. It is an issue of the devil trying to stop some entrance of a man or woman of God from making a difference in this earth for God. It's done through not just abortion, but through marginalization. Instead of respecting the biblical role of men and respecting what God has given them to do and to be, it's ridiculed. I can go back as a child and watch sitcoms and cartoons that belittle the role of men in our society. This has been going on for decades, and it's not gotten any better. Today, if you act like a man, you're not doing what God called you to do. If you're leading, if you're strong for your family and strong for your kids and strong at work and strong spiritually, you're not supported, you're not endorsed, you're not congratulated. They tell you you have toxic masculinity. How they dream these things up. No, darling, it's not toxic masculinity. It's just masculinity. It's what God called them to be. If you have somebody in your life, you have a male figure that is strong in God and strong, they're decisive, not perfect. You should be celebrating that God put that in this world. We have needed that. With a tool of abortion, he strikes at the entrance of man through marginalizing them and somehow making us feel bad for being what God called us to be. It's just another device of the enemy. But the most insidious one of all after abortion is the feminization of man in our society. He made them male and female. He did not make them male to become female. He did not make them female to become male. Say, he made them male and female. To invoke gender confusion in the trans issue and homosexuality is to undermine the godly impact these children would have. That's right. And to see parents actually endorsing this stuff, school systems endorsing this stuff, it's just another assault on the sovereignty of God. To stop what God would have done through that little boy's life. You're not really a little boy. You're actually a girl. You're a girl in a boy's body. It has nothing to do with homophobia or transphobia. It has to do with the reality of another attack to stop little guys from being what God has called them to be. When you see this in or out of the church, you need to understand what the devil's trying to do to that child. It's not about they just woke up one day and they're confused. It is a spiritual assignment against their life. Are you here today, church? And you should pray for them. Helping your children receive reassignment surgery, helping your children get on hormone blockers, letting your kids, their boys, dress like girls. You're a tool of the enemy is what you are. I mean, dear God. Even Bill Maher understood that, and I don't agree with anything he says. Because the show Politically Incorrect is the most politically correct thing I ever saw in my entire life. But even he said this, there's no place to be taking children under the knife and reassigning their gender and putting them on hormone blockers when they're 4, 5, 6 years old. And some of this stuff has gone on around the country and around the world. And here's what he had to say. He said, you know what? When I was little, I wanted to be a pirate. He said, I thank God my parents didn't cut off my leg and poke out my eye. Arr! That's amen and pirate. Yes, it is. Amen. Are you here today? Church needs to understand that when this spirit attacks young people, it's designed to stop their godly potential. They were targeted. Our kids are being targeted by the same spirit of Herod and the same spirit that operated in Pharaoh's life. And Christians have to understand this and be aware of this. It's no different. We're protecting our kids from the same thing that Joseph was used to protect our Savior from. The good news is there is an anointing and wisdom available to godly fathers and mothers to hear, obey, protect, and preserve. We have to access it, we have to receive it, and we have to act on it. The obedience by Joseph ensured protection for Christ and the prophetic purpose of God. The fulfillment of prophecy, you see the hand of God. Prophesied he'd come out of Egypt, prophesied he'd be a Nazarene, but the man of God had to do what the angel told him to do. You see the sovereignty of God in this. We must protect the children from the spirit of Herod. It's still after the boys. Yes. Are you here today? Yes. If Joseph can take Jesus out of the country to protect him, you can take your child out of the library or out of a school system that refuses to protect your children. You have drag queens reading to children in library systems all over the country. What is that all about? It is nothing more than an attempt to get the minds of those little guys and gals and confuse them. It's the same spirit of Herod. Are you here today? You say these things wouldn't ever happen in little hamlets like Murray, Kentucky. It's happening all over the country. And your parents and grandparents hear me well. You find out that your child is exposed in a classroom in this region and you can't get remedy for that. You pull your child out. And you put them in a parochial situation like our academy. I have high regard for parental authority and respect their decision making. You do what's right for your family and in the eyes of God, and you want to put them in a Christian school, we'll definitely support them. But I'm telling you that you let them sit there, you're exposing them not just to whatever academically is going on, you're supporting and letting the spirit that's there attack them and try to attach itself to them. And I pray that school systems in this region remain more conservative than the national average. But you never know when you're going to get a rogue teacher or board member who facilitates this stuff. You say, well, a private Christian school is still costing money because there's no voucher system still in Kentucky. How much do you think it cost Joseph to take Jesus out of the country? Ours happens to be one of the most affordable anywhere you can find. And it's available for you to use. I'm just simply saying that you're going to let your kids sit there 8 hours a day subject to the spirit of Herod and not do something about that. You do not want your child being sucked into this nonsense. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? If Jesus needed protection. Think about this. If the Son of God incarnate needed protection, how much more do our sons and daughters need protection today if they're going to live lives of significance? Amen? So you can see there's a whole lot more to this father named Joseph than just, well, he just took care of Jesus and Mary and he died one day. You and I stand on the shoulders of decisions that He made. We benefit from the decisions and the character that He showed. And I encourage you today, make sure that you cultivate discernment in your life. Make sure that you have courage and a titanium backbone to stand up in these days. And make sure you do everything you can to walk with God, to honor God, and be obedient to the things He tells you to do. Never have grandparents been more important in our culture than they are right now. From a financial standpoint, from a social standpoint, but most importantly, from a spiritual standpoint. Do whatever you can to influence them for Christ. Yeah, but my kids are nuts. Well, your kids might be nuts. Go after the grandkids. Amen. Pray for the kids that are nuts and go after the grandkids, glory to God. And don't give up on them. I told the church Wednesday night that that Burt Reynolds, in the last year of his life, gave his life to Christ and was baptized in water. Amen. If the bandit can get saved, and so can your kids. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you here today? So he leaves this legacy of doing exactly what God told him to do through angelic utterance. I haven't had no angel tell me, you've got the word of God. You've got the word of God more sure than any angelic utterance. Be involved, be aware of what's going on. Amen. You live a life of significance by following an example of a man and a father named Joseph. Hallelujah. Are you here? Yeah. Now, there are people out there on the cutting edge like Kirk Cameron, God bless his heart, doing everything he can do to push back upon this. You can certainly support and pray for people like that and guard and safeguard and watch and be discerning and be alert and steadfast over your family and over those you have influence from. Because I'm telling you, the spirit of Herod is still here.
Yes.
And let me say it again. He'll wipe out 10 million to get one.
Yeah.
Amen. If you can receive this today, give the Lord a hand clap and thank Him for it.